Blog Talk Radio.
Joining us today on Living for the Lord Radio, I'm Timothy Vernon, along with my wife Rebecca Vernon. Let's jump right into it.
Okay, first of all, I have to say, Tim, you called me out earlier. You said that church chat, which is the title I came up with, having during tribulations, church chat. You told me it was a Saturday Night Live skit. And I, for a minute, I started to feel bad, and then I thought, no, you're more worldly than I am. I didn't even know that.
Wow.
I had to tease you. But no, this wasn't a play on the Saturday Night Live skit. It went good. It was a nice alliteration, chit and chat. So there we go. We talked a little bit last time we were with you guys about how, you know, many Christians today are expecting a prosperity gospel, but we're actually to expect trials and tribulations in our lives.
That's right. We talked about the suffering of the suffering of the gospel. Some of the scripture we touched on was Romans 5:3 and 5:4, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. Sorry, I had to catch my breath. In other words, what I feel that and from my heart, that's telling us that no matter what tribulations God puts us through, just have patience. God will work us through it. God will lead us to the end where we receive our crown and receive our blessings. From my heart, that's what I feel that means to me. Rebecca?
I think we should stick to scripture. But let's go to the next verse on your list that you have there. But you know what? Your feeling is in line with scripture. But that's something we tell people all the time, is to, you know, don't go with your thoughts and your feelings. Instead, just stick to scripture.
Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. 2 Corinthians 4:8 and 9, we are troubled on every side, not yet distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Isaiah 43:2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee.
So we're seeing like a recurring theme of the trials and tribulations that we're going to face as Christians.
Right.
A lot of people get really focused on this life. You know, if I have the right house, the right job, the right car, and things like that. But today in church, we were talking about the actual purpose of our life. And one of the things that was said, based on 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Well, everybody always asks, what's the point of life? Why were we created? Well, the simple answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And that was something that they talked about in church today, was how to enjoy God and glorify God in the midst of our tribulations.
That's right. Pastor Micah from Redeemer Church is the one we went to, and he spoke about it in 1 Peter chapter 4, 7 through 11 was what he spoke on. But the end of all things is at hand. But ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as God's stewards of the manifold grace of God, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak
oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
And I just want to read, our dog got a hold of my KJV, so I was following along today in my old Bible, which is the New Living Translation, and I wanted to read from that as well. So again, this is 1 Peter 4:7 through 11. The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. There's three things there that tell us how we can bring glory to God. No matter how we're feeling, through the good or the bad, if it's a good day or it's a bad day. And those three things are found in verse 8.
Do it by charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sin. The other one, in 9, use hospitality to one another without grudging. And in 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability to which God giveth.
Right. We got to serve one another. And the thing that I like that he pointed out was that we're not just supposed to be hospitable with our home. We're supposed to do it cheerfully, like without a grudge. He used an analogy that if someone comes over and spills red cocktail sauce on your white rug, you know, that's a good example to show Jesus in your life, because normally you'd be upset about that because, you know, they're just sitting there. They're not trying to help clean it up. And you take care of your things. You work hard for your things. But the thing is, you just got to let it go, and then people are going to see Christ's glory in you, because it's not by your patience that you're able to be patient. And so, you know, you don't want to grudge the messes they make, or, you know, the time that they're cutting into. Maybe you want to be watching your television show, but they're still there.
But, you know, the carpet is just an item. It's a worldly item. It's something that can be replaced. The hospitality you show toward others and the love that you show toward others sticks with them forever, especially if you're helping them to understand the Word of God. If they're not a strong believer, and if you show anger toward them, it might say, well, oh, maybe all Christians are like this. You know, if you just be humble about it, you know, just take care of it, show love toward them, be hospitable toward these people, and it'll show them that, what is the word? I had it in my head.
I don't know. I can't read your thoughts. Sometimes I wish I could read your thoughts, but sometimes I don't.
That would have been a good time.
Right. There's a couple of verses that I pulled up today. That 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And when I read that, I think about, you know, it's hard to be joyful when you've got troubles going on in your life, when you're going through trials by fire. It's hard to be joyful. But what we have to remember is that we are bought with a price. Jesus gave the ultimate sacrifice for us. So if he could, without grudging, carry his cross to Golgotha and die for us, you know, that's something that we need to do. We're not carrying a cross to Golgotha, but, you know, it's a lot easier to look the other way when someone's upsetting you, you know, or, you know, do you know what I'm saying? Speak up.
I understand what you're saying, believe me. So I'm gathering thoughts, sorry. carrying our...
Patience isn't a virtue we're born with, I don't think. It's something that the Holy Spirit gives us. And also in 1 Peter 4, I found this today after we got back from church. It's in 16, so I'm sure he'll be talking about it next week. It says, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So, and then I can't think of the exact verse, and I hate quoting a verse without having it right on hand, but there is a verse that says, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within you. If you want to Google that, answer for the hope within you, I'm sure it'll pop right up. But that's an example right there. You know, a lot of people, okay, say you're sitting in traffic and you carpool and you get cut off and you have to slam on your brakes and it's a really scary ordeal. A lot of people might be cussing and, you know, throwing something like one-fingered peace signs out the window. And if you're not, if you're calm and you let it go and you have that patience, not of yourself, but of the Holy Spirit that's given to you, then people are going to see that and they're going to, hey, how did you stay so calm? I would have been, you know, telling that guy off. And that opens the door for you to minister to somebody. And you can say, well, it's the peace that Jesus gives me, because I probably would have told them off too. But, you know, God is working in my life. To me, I don't know. And that's 1 Peter 3:15. Huh, same book. Okay. By the way, be ready to answer for the hope that is within you. To me, one of my greatest joys in life is being able to share the gospel. And if we can just live our life in a way that opens that door in just everyday activities, we'd be more happy.
Exactly. You know, like you said, one of my greatest joys is being able to talk to people. I have people coming up at work at me sometimes because they know we do ministry, they know we do radio shows, and they'll ask me questions, and I'll point them in the right direction. I'll tell them, you know, I am just a man, but open your Bible, Google these verses, you know, and read it for yourself. Don't take my words for it. Read the Word of God yourself. Find the truth, find the knowledge that you seek. And a lot of them that I speak to aren't strong believers up at my work. And just being able to talk to them about it, maybe pointing them in the right direction of which way to go, it just makes me happy. It makes going to work every day just kind of worth it. You know, seeing these people asking questions about, you know, our ministry, what we do, and having questions about certain things that we've talked about before in our Bible studies. So I get to go back and read the notes and relearn things that I might have forgotten, and it helps me out as well, being able to help other people.
Well, something cool about Scripture, for me at least, I like to highlight in my Bible. And there have been times that I've stumbled upon a verse that I know I've seen before because I took the time to highlight it. And when I read it, I remember exactly what that verse meant to me when I highlighted it. But I also see that it holds a new meaning for me as I'm reading it. Like, it really spoke to me at that time in my life and said this. But at this time in my life, with what I'm going through right now, it says this. I mean, we were watching the Son of God movie with our kids, and the story that Jesus, the parable Jesus tells about the Pharisee and the tax collector, where the Pharisee says, thank you, God, for not making me like all the sinners and this tax collector. And the tax collector couldn't even look up to heaven. He said, Lord, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. I've heard that, I don't even know how many times, but it really hit me because I was thinking, with our online ministry and the ministries I see other people engaged in, I think a lot of the times we come off as that Pharisee. We know what God has done in our life, how he's changed us, but we don't accept the fact that we're still a sinner. I guess, you know, I kind of went off on a tangent there, but that's how verses can affect you differently. It's not that you're redefining the verse. It hits your heart a different way, I think.
It gives you a whole new meaning to that verse from what it might have done beforehand.
It's a living word, for sure.
Amen.
And I found a list, too. Do you mind if I read it?
Go right ahead.
it was ways to glorify God in your life. And this was the Holy Spirit speaking, because when I was looking at this article, at the end it said the scripture we read in church today. I said, okay, I see the sign. I'm going to take it. It says, Christians were often taught that we should be glorifying God, and scripture is clear. We're to glorify him all the time. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. But what does that actually mean? How can we glorify God every day, all day? Well, I'm going to read the list of different ways, and it's 10 ways. The first way we glorify God is in our thoughts. God knows our minds and hearts, and our inner self usually reflects our outer actions. So we need to, this isn't always going to be easy, especially during rough patches in life, but during those times, our glorification of God means more, because that's really going to show the people, that's answering for the hope that is within us when we're going through those hard times and we're praising God through the storm. They're going to want to know, well, how are you so happy with all this duty going on in your life? Well, I'm happy because of Jesus. So we glorify him in our words. The way we speak to others and about others should be glorifying to God. So we need to avoid abusive or harsh words, sarcasm, gossip, and negative language that's meant to hurt, insult, abuse, or belittle. So we also glorify God, number three, in our deeds. And we read about some of those deeds, being charitable to one another, loving each other, speaking about God, you know, if you have the gift to teach, and if you have the gift to serve, serving one another. So not only the activities we partake in for others, such as our service, but also those we do for ourselves, our deeds should be a reflection of Christ, so that when people see what we do for others, they see Christ and glorify him. So we don't want to put the focus on ourselves. Number four is in our attitude. Our perspective about life, people, and ourselves is an outward reflection of our inner selves. So if we're like Eeyore, nobody likes me, everything's wrong, you know, I've got a list of all these things that I wish God would fix, you know, that's our attitude, and people aren't going to see the glory of God in that sort of attitude. Instead, we should be more thankful about the things that we have. That's what glorifies God. So we can't be negative or pessimistic. We can't be cynical. It's important to maintain a godly attitude that encompasses patience, goodness, kindness, and compassion. Five, in our physical self. And that's the way we treat our bodies that Christ gifted us with, a way of glorifying him, keeping our bodies healthy by not overindulging or undernourishing ourselves, abusing it with drugs. And modesty is important. And I struggle with this a lot, you know. Well, I don't so much today, but even when I tried to be modest before I was truly born again, I still always was told I was showing too much, this, that, and the other. So, modesty is very important. We don't want to cause anyone to stumble. We want to make sure that the way we present ourselves glorifies God. Number six, we got to glorify him in good and bad times. It's easy to glorify God when things are going well, but during those times of struggle and suffering, this is when it means so much, because Christ suffered for us. When we suffer, we grow in our holiness, and our relationship with Christ becomes stronger. Seven, in our work. And you were talking about this. This relates to school, jobs, chores, enhancing our minds, strengthening our knowledge, our ways that we can use the amazing mind that God gave us. Scripture calls for us to work hard, but to never allow work and money and ambition to consume us or overshadow him. You know, some of the times I think back when I was really, really happy in God, and I was cleaning. And don't look so shocked, Tim. No. It was when I was cleaning, and I remember this sticking out to me because I was doing it for God. I wasn't doing the dishes for me. I felt like everything I was doing, it was like God was my boss, and I was on his payroll. and the payroll was the satisfaction of helping others, because they weren't my dishes that I was doing, by the way. But it was a really good feeling to feel like everything I was doing was for God. 8, in our play. So this includes our entertainment, how we use our time and what we consume our minds with, whether through television shows, movies, books, music, social media. We need to be focused on godly media. In activities such as sports, we should remain true to God's teaching, playing fair, using patience, and being honest. And when we hang out with our friends, we should always remember to behave in a manner that glorifies God. You know, before I was truly born again, I was still a believer, and I was in church, and I don't know if you can attest to this as well. I had my church self, and my friend self, and my family self. So I was like split into 3 different people.
Yep, you had to be.
And I wasn't going to cuss and drink and do drugs or whatever in front of my church people or my family. I might cuss or drink with my family. You see what I'm saying? You have to compartmentalize what's allowed. And the great thing is we can glorify God by having one self that we show the world. And that's another invitation to testify to the glory of the hope that's glorify God by testifying of the hope that's within us. Which leads into 9, in our evangelizing. We want to glorify his name at every opportunity. It's not about us, it's about him. And we need to be compassionate and bring people to Christ, not turning them away. We should be his disciples. And 10, in our relationship. The way we treat our family and friends should be a reflection of how Christ treated people. The relationships we have should adhere to his word and his design. So we need to work to create happy and healthy relationships with people. And the author goes on to say, in the event I've forgotten a specific something, let me reiterate that whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever we feel, whatever we think, whatever we pray, let it all be for the glory of God. Whoever preaches, let it be with the words of God. Whoever serves, let it be with the strength that God supplies, so that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, that was just a nice little article I wanted to share with you guys. I didn't mean to take over the airwaves there.
Yeah,
and
totally fine. It's a good article, and you told me about it, and I'm glad you read it. It spoke a lot about what we as people need to do, especially Christians, and I know it was spoken of today that there have been Christians doing ugly things to other Christians and vice versa. And you've spoken of it before. We are all sinners. We're all going to perform sin, unfortunately. We're nobody's perfect but Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Being able to and it was spoken on today as well. I'm sorry. You were speaking about how we treat our friends and how we treat our families and how we treat others. And you even said it, you know, giving the one finger peace sign if someone cuts you off. If you're able to just put that aside, like you said, just wave hi. Because that's what you've done. You just wave hi.
Hello.
And the unfortunate part is it made everybody else that cut you off matter, but you're sitting there not letting it bug you. If we can allow things not to bug us, if we can continue to spread the word of God in our hearts, and show people how to treat each other properly, we can be, unified.
Yeah.
Unified in the Lord.
Which is how it should be, is unified. You know, it's funny because you brought up the traffic thing, and that used to be like one of my little ministries when I lived closer to Dallas. Traffic is horrible, and people would ride with me in my car, and, you know, to me, traffic, who cares? Roll the windows down, turn the radio up, I'm dancing, I'm singing, and they're like, what is your issue? I mean, don't you want to get where we're going? I'm like, we'll get there when we get there. And, you know, that was an invitation for me to talk about. I wasn't always like this. I was the first person to yell at you if you cut me off or if I had to slam on my brakes because of you. But, you know, there's a patience now that God gave me, and it's not my own.
It's carpe diem. Seize the day. Because we're not promised tomorrow. Have patience for the events of the day. If you wake up tomorrow, you're blessed. Tomorrow is never promised. So live for the Lord today. Pray that he wakes you up in the morning. Because if he did, that gives you one more day that he opens the door for you to spread his word and live your life for him.
Absolutely. I agree. Carpe diem. I don't know what that. Oh, seize the day. You told me that. I was like, I don't know what that means, but it sounds good. No, you said what it means. Seize the day. And the Bible does say we're not guaranteed tomorrow. So we do have to do all that we can today. I don't know about you. I don't feel like we're saved by grace. It's nothing we do. Our deeds don't save us. But I do want to be able to stand up there and be told, well done, good and faithful servant. We earn a reward. We're putting jewels in our crown. Our works, the Bible says, will be tried by fire. So I want to get some good works in. I would hate, and this is just because of my love of Jesus. I don't feel compelled to do this for my salvation, but I don't want to feel like I wasted my life when I'm standing in front of the Creator. I want to have worked for him. I want to be on his payroll.
You said it before. You don't want to feel like you haven't done enough for him.
Right.
You want to do everything you can for him. And
and we probably could never do enough for him.
Exactly.
And I know I certainly won't ever feel like I've done enough.
Yeah, I mean, I'll feel the same way. And I learn as I go, and you've been helping me learn, and I apologize. I'm not a good public speaker, so I'm sorry if I've been quiet a lot. I'm not a good public speaker. I get nervous. I apologize.
But that's what I love about you, because you say you get nervous and you apologize, you're not a good public speaker, but when we talked about the radio show, oh, great, good idea, and then 2 years later almost, we have a radio show, and the first thing he says, I can't wait to do it. So you are learning as you go, and, you know, of course, me, I can just talk no matter what, and some people out there might call it a sin. Like you just said, you come to me for, you know, you'll ask me questions, and, you know, I've been studying scripture. You know, I went to Christian schools, and, you know, God calls us at different points, and we're not always on the same level, but we're growing together. And that's one of the main issues of sharing this radio show with everybody, so we can share that journey and that growth. And hopefully the Holy Spirit that inspires us will inspire those who take the time to listen. So we've got about a minute and a half. Do you want to close us out with prayer?
I can do that. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together today to share your word and to allow those who need to hear it and hopefully point them in the right direction if they do not know you. We thank you for giving us the knowledge and the understanding of the knowledge we read of your word and for protecting us, keeping us safe from any and all enemies of Christ, Lord. Thank you for the fellowship that we got to share today. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the sacrifice that you gave for us to be free and for us to spread your word. Continue to open the doors for us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yes, and I'd like to add to help us glorify him. Help us glorify Jesus, glorify the Father in everything that we do, and no matter what circumstance we're in, I pray that we all need to remind ourselves of that, and if we're going through that, that you'll remind us, Lord, how to glorify you and remember what life is about, and that is to bring you glory. Amen.
Amen.
Well, that wasn't too bad for a show that we didn't really plan and just decided to do because we were feeling regenerated by the Holy Spirit. But we're glad you tuned in. We'll hope you tune in next time.
Until
we love you guys.
We love you all. God bless you all. And we'll speak to you again soon.